Leah, everybody aspires to be debt-free and to pay off their mortgage and to own their own home. You got there. What did that feel like? Did you feel like you'd arrived? You're at the top of the ladder?
And I think it was comfortable. I could remain mortgage-free, but still have to work until virtually the day I die.
So you basically bought a house for 11 grand.
I see some of the younger kids on the academy with no money, and they've started, and they're just sort of smashing it.
You've bought some houses, you've acquired an asset, and you're now financially independent.
We're still going to be £3,000 better off. This has been the first thing in my life that has worked.
I want to talk to you about property investing.
Hey.
So when did you first start getting into property, and what was it that got you interested?
During the pandemic, really frustrating. Didn't know what to do. But, you know, I could guess you can't pay a country for 2 years with the economy not tanking. And I was really fearful and frightened for that. So my first thing, I'd seen some of your YouTube videos and I just thought, OK, I've got an opportunity here. Take the plunge, refinance my flat. So that was the way I got some money. And I was able to put that on a deposit for my first bog standard safe buy to let. I didn't really know what I was doing. Lots of people and family around me thought, you know, I was nuts.
So what was the rationale behind refinancing your home? Because most people tend to want to pay off their mortgage. So for you to actually release equity from it and have more debt to then buy a second property, what was the rationale? What was the reasoning behind it?
The rationale was being exposed to other possibilities that I hadn't previously known about. And one of those was the power of leverage and using a mortgage, other people's money, to maybe get a second property. Yeah. Because, you know, that can be a cash producing asset. That's the important. And just trying to learn the difference between what is an asset and what actually is a liability. But as we've seen, all of our working lives, all of my working lives, property overall tends to go up. There's that saying, it's safe as houses. I mean, sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down. But the important thing was to just get something out there and just try and hedge against inflation. That was my fear and my rationale with that first one.
And being a school teacher, because that's your background, is it?
Well, I'm a care worker, actually.
A care worker?
Yeah, so I look after adults with learning disabilities and dementia.
Right. With your family, being a care worker, yeah. It's very normal to get a job, pay off the mortgage, build into a pension.
This is what we had been led to believe our entire lives. So, massive lot of unlearning for me to do and go against the grain, you know, and they were. They're saying, what are you doing? You're mortgage free. Why are you doing this? But I could remain mortgage free, but still have to work until virtually the day I die just to keep up with, you know, the cost of living. I mean, we're seeing that now.
And you recently got a promotion at work as well.
Yeah, yes, just got a promotion as well.
But that's part of the rat race.
That's part of the trap. You know, it's like, oh, you know, at what point can you get out of it? So you can either swap your life for that 9 to 5, you know, 5 days a week for your entire life, or is there another way? Can you change your life? Can you take control of your life? Can you get educated and so that you can actually break out of that trap?
Leo, everybody aspires to be debt-free and to pay off their mortgage and to own their own home. You got there. You worked hard for many, many years and you bought a house and you paid off the mortgage and you were debt-free. What does it feel like? What did that feel like? Did you feel like you'd arrived? You're at the top of the ladder?
It was a weird feeling. I mean, my flat was all paid for. And I think it was comfortable. You know, and I think what is really easy is to remain in that comfort zone. You think, okay, I'm sort of managing, you know, you've got a little bit extra at the end of each month, but really that is it. You can't not work. You know, you would have to be going back to work on that Monday morning.
Because you've still got your utilities, your food.
Yeah.
And everything's going up.
And this is scary and really hard for lots of people out there. I'm just sort of grateful that, you know, was able to just do what I did just in time. But I think, you know, any time is a good time to start.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you can wait for the change, you know, wait for things, wait for the perfect time. It's never going to be perfect. You've got to get out there. You've got to have the courage to do it. You might have to have the courage to go against the grain of your friends and family. And I think what you need to do, you just got to, you don't know what you don't know. And you've just got to get yourself educated as best as you can, plug into some positive people so that you can have the confidence of your own convictions so you can move forward.
Now, in the last couple of years, you've got into property as a business.
Yep.
You've bought some houses, you've acquired assets,
yep.
And you're now financially independent.
Yeah, which almost doesn't seem real.
Yeah.
It is, you know, from seeing how that first buy-to-let worked, after that, I went to one of your £1 crash courses, which was like a pretty unique experience. If somebody hasn't been to one of those before, get along, sit there, soak it all up. Some of it is going to land on you. Some of it's going to go over your head. But you just have to, I would just say to anybody, go along. What have you got to lose? A pound? A pound for possibly a life-changing experience where you could learn a couple of nuggets or a window of your life could be opened. So after going along there, I think I went along to a couple and then joined the academy. The difference that has made is just there's so many different things that you can do with property. There is no one right way or better way. There's just different ways. I see some of the younger kids on the academy with no money, and they've started and they're just sort of smashing it. I'm a bit older. I'm coming at it from a different angle where I am lucky enough maybe to have had, you know, refinanced my flat, had a bit of cash, and there were different strategies. So my strategies were just trying to get a property or two. But after seeing, you know, learning what you can at the courses, not necessarily just doing a standard buy-to-let. You could do, and it would work. But there's other ways where you can get super rent, as you say, which might be serviced accommodation. And that's where you're sort of get a property when you have it like a mini hotel. And that could be like an Airbnb or so, you know, where people come along and they pay to stay for a night or two. Some people, I've just had some people in and they've stayed for 2 months at a much higher rate. So, you know, there are ways that you can really multiply that income.
Yeah, and that's what you've been doing a lot of. You've been renting out your properties now, moving forward, as serviced accommodation and short stay lets. How's that been playing out for you?
That's the thing that has got me to this stage where yeah, I'm sort of technically financially free. It's a real buzz. I actually love doing it. And from my family and friends thinking like I'm some kind of fruitcake, they're now looking at it thinking, oh my gosh, this thing works.
Yeah.
And I think it pretty much can work anywhere where there are people, so long as you've got, you know, a fair amount of people around. And you would think, who's coming to stay? People often think it's just holiday makers or something. It's not. You get holiday makers, you could have contractors, you could have people visiting family or relatives. There's a whole range of reasons why people might come and stay.
Yeah, and you've got some properties that you've bought and you're renting out a serviced accommodation. Yeah. You've also taken on properties as rent-to-rents, and now you're buying a guest house.
My partner has seen how well, you know, my little serviced accommodation things work, so we're looking to possibly kind of, I suppose, joint venture on a sort of bed and breakfast.
And am I right in saying that your partner is also similar to yourself? She has a house, she paid off the mortgage, she's got a few hundred thousand pound house, and now she's thinking, hang on a minute, if I sell or if I refinance this house, I could use the money to buy an asset. Because this is the thing, sometimes people will be worried about refinancing their existing house because now they're going to have to stop paying mortgage payments again.
Yeah.
But if you use the money to buy an asset, then the asset can pay the mortgage payments and way more.
Well, this is the thing. You keep doing the numbers and, you know, you work it out on the worst case scenario. Really, just if it works on the worst case scenario, you know, and you're still looking at it, and I keep thinking, checking it and double checking it, thinking, what have we missed? But for example, she has to get a mortgage. She might have a sort of £700 mortgage a month. But we keep doing the numbers on, you know, the asset, the bed and breakfast. And at the worst case scenario, it will net £3,000 a month. So out of that, you pay your mortgage. We keep looking at it. I said, we're still going to be £3,000 better off.
Yeah.
And have that. And that, you know, together with what I'm doing, that's a life-changing situation for us, and would be for anything. And something that, so far, we enjoy doing.
Yeah. And I think people that are sitting in equity, they might, even if they've not paid off their mortgage, if you've got a house worth 300,000 and you've only got a small mortgage of maybe 100,000 or 50,000, the idea of, as long as you know what to do with the money once you refinance.
Really important. I think, you know, don't, you know, this is not a question of being irresponsible or willy-nilly. Nobody wants to get into debt.
Yeah.
But again, as you've often said, there's good debt and there's bad debt. Good debt is something that, you know, is an asset that it produces an income. Bad debt is something that you've got and you're just paying out of and it's just sort of draining away.
Yeah.
So no, you've got to be responsible. It's like, there's a saying, give a sprat to catch a mackerel. If you have to remortgage your house, refinance your house, don't do it to buy a holiday or go get a car. That's not the idea. If you refinance your house and you might be paying an extra few hundred pounds a month on a mortgage, but the thing that you bought or you've swapped it for, you can live in or you can rent out, and it's paying you back the mortgage plus £1,000 or something.
Yeah.
Or 1,500. Well, suddenly you've got that extra finance.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. What do you think about interest rates though? Because that's really hurt a lot of landlords. And now if you're refinancing your house to buy other properties, there's a lot of landlords that aren't making any money at all. So how do you make sure that you are in good monthly profit? Because you're now making a full-time salary with just your passive income from properties.
Yes.
How do you make sure that you're cash flowing positive?
Well, one of my properties, I've got to be honest, the very last property, so I've got two that are doing fine, but my last one, I came close to coming unstuck. That was a particular property that was difficult to purchase. I had three mortgages that expired, and this was when the rates were good. And at the end of the day, I just thought the only way I could do this is with a bridging loan to just get it over the line. And this is where, again, it can take a bit of tenacity, and you have to know what you're doing. But also, you can't rely on solicitors or accountants or anybody else. Often it does come to you to shovel it over the line, literally. Got the bridging loan, got the property right in the middle of just getting that. There was that change of government. They had the mini budget that put interest.
That screwed everybody.
Screwed everybody through, you know, just everything went through the roof. And I'm thinking, what's going to happen here? Managed to refinance it and literally just sort of come out of that, okay, the rental is just about covering things.
Yeah.
But nothing like it would have. But I was able to pull out two-thirds, three-quarters of the deposit.
So how much did you buy it for?
Bought it for 140.
And then how much did you spend on it, refurbing it?
Probably about 2,500.
So you bought it for 140?
140.
And then you spent a couple thousand on it. And then what was the end value?
180.
So there's 38 grand. And then have you refinanced it?
So I refinanced it, was able to pull out about 23, 24,000.
So how much money did you end up leaving in?
About 11.
So you basically bought a house for 11 grand.
Yes. And that's the point. That's the point, everybody. Suddenly, you got a property that's actually cost you 11,000. And you think, in those terms, yeah, there's a mortgage on it. But if the mortgage is being, you know, paid for by the tenant or however you're renting that out, you've acquired an asset, a property, that over time likely to increase. Yeah. But you have the control of it. So at the moment, I've just got a tenant in there. But I think in due course, I'll look at maybe seeing what else we can do with that. You know, maybe serviced accommodation, you know, do some serviced accommodation with that one.
How do you get around the tax rules? Like, for instance, Section 24, which again only came in 2020. That was when it came into full effect, which has absolutely crippled landlords. How are you getting around the taxes?
So ideally, you buy these in a company.
Right.
So with a company, you can offset all of your mortgage payments and all of your costs and things like that. Because I didn't know what I was doing in the early days. Some of mine aren't in a company. So, you know, I'm paying for what I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we all end up paying something one way or the other. Not you either pay to learn, or you're going to pay, you know, over a period of time with what you don't know.
What did your partner think when you went to the crash course? Because I think you kind of mentioned that it was a little bit weird, because I was sort of teaching everything opposite to what you'd learned all your life in normal background. I'm saying, you know, don't buy a house to live in, don't pay off the mortgage. Everything I'm saying about finance is completely different. And a lot of people like yourself are thinking, really?
Do you know what? No, you can't. It's so difficult to get your head around, because it's just like you've got a lifetime of what you've been. We've all been taught in the system, you know, which is, you know, we'll go to school, study hard, you know, we'll get a degree, get a good job, you know, keep working your way up the ladder, and then you can retire. And look, nobody's saying that there's anything wrong with that.
Sure.
But when you have had a lifetime of that, and that has been the environment that you've lived your whole life with, that in a sense is quite a lot of baggage to try and unlearn. And I think that's why it's been a bit of a slower process. You know, I haven't gone as fast as I've seen other people go, but it's been a process to unlearn all of this stuff.
And everything the media says is almost opposite. If the media are saying house prices are crashing, now's a bad time, that's normally when actually the rich people are investing in property.
Yeah.
When the media and the taxi man is saying now's a great time, it's usually when we're being a bit more cautious. Everything's opposite.
Everything's opposite. And I think that is where, you know, you've got to learn to, you know, we can do a couple of things in life. You can either follow what everybody else is doing and end up pretty much like everybody else and just do the norm. Or maybe you can look at a small percentage of people that are not doing. They're not playing by the rules. Mm. They're not doing what necessary society or the government wants you to do. And I think half the time, it's a belief thing. It's really believing this is really possible. Mm. You can really, me as an ordinary person who's like worked all his life for other companies and things, can actually sort of step out and do this.
You mentioned as well about it's only a pound. And what's the worst that could happen? You lose a pound. You know, everyone should come to the crash course.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what always strikes me about these is that there is no one set person. There's no one type. It's the biggest, widest demographic of people I've ever seen. And that's at any of the events. Ricky will come out and do a bit of teaching, and then you'll come out and start on these sort of different strategies. and different ideas, and they're coming at you so fast, boom, 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 that you're thinking, oh, that's a good idea. Oh yeah. Then there's another strategy. You think, oh no, that's a good idea too. And then there's another strategy. And you think, that's a good idea. Actually, they're all bloody good ideas, and they all work. It's just picking, you know, it's just working out what's going to be
and
right
you can
for
link
individuals.
Them. Like how you bought a property, and then you refinanced it. That was like a bit of a BRR.
Yeah.
Potentially renting out as short stay lets, and the strategies all link.
I think that's it. It's so multifaceted. There's so many different opportunities and options that they do all link into each other. And you might start off with thinking, you know, that you're going to do one thing, but something else crops up, and you just think, I mean, I'd never intended to have to try and refinance that house, because I never imagined that I'd have three mortgages fall through.
Yeah.
Then get a bridging loan. If I hadn't, what would have happened? The deal would have fallen through.
How many properties have you got in total now?
Including my own residential, I've just got four.
And three of them are serviced accommodations?
Yes.
And you're making a full-time income off of that. How much time do you have to spend managing the portfolio?
So I'm still working full-time in my normal job. So managing it, probably an hour or two a week.
So you're only spending literally an hour or two a week managing the portfolio,
yeah.
And you're making a full-time income now from your property portfolio. Why have you continued working in your job? Because I know you don't have to. Financially, you don't have to do that anymore.
Partly because I feel like I'm just getting to a cusp of the next level.
Right.
And something happens when you start earning the same or a bit more of money outside of your normal job than there. Suddenly your main job doesn't seem quite so bad anymore.
Oh really? Interesting.
And I think that psychologically it's because you now know that you don't have to do this. You've got an escape route.
Right.
So this doesn't mean to say that one day I'm not going to give it up or anything. But right now, I still consider myself in the early stages of my property journey. But actually, whilst you've got a job, it is easier to get a mortgage on a standard residential property. They just like it. The systems and the banks and everything. And the mortgage people, they like it. It doesn't actually make sense that they like it so much. It's just the system that they operate in.
It's interesting what you said about a job though. I was in the sauna the other day, and I was in the sauna for probably about 5 or 10 minutes. It was really hot. And then I suddenly had a vision that the door might be locked. And the only thing worse than being really hot in a sauna is being really hot in a sauna knowing the door's locked. Because if the door's locked, psychologically, it's like, you need to get out.
Yeah.
And with a job, it's the same. If you're in a job and it's like, I don't particularly like it, but there's no way out, you're trapped. Horrible.
Oh.
But if you know that the door's open and you can leave any time, suddenly it's like, actually, I quite enjoy it in the sauna.
That has suddenly made the difference. I think it is about suddenly this can give you options and opportunities. And if then you can choose to do something or not, that is a game changer. There is one part of me, I do know, that I'm sort of thinking, yeah, man, but if I was doing property full time, I kind of do know
you'd 10x your income probably. Well that might be the next stage of your journey. We'll see how things go. But right now, being at the point of financially independent and making a full time income from property, passive basically, it's a big achievement. How did you justify joining the academy and spending thousands of pounds on your education? How did you justify that decision?
I just thought, if I can pay that money, and in a year, I could be financially free, in effect. And by that, I mean basically at least earning at least as the same as my day job. What would that be worth to me? What difference would that make to my life? Otherwise, I'm going to be still working until I'm 67. I just thought, I haven't got that much time left. I've still got it in me to to have a crack at this. You know, I've been in businesses, my own businesses before, and different things, but they've been more retail. So this has been the first thing in my life that has worked. And I'm just pleased that I feel I've got there in the end. I'm not there where I want to be yet, but at least I've bloody well got over the line. That's what I feel.
What did your partner think when you first joined the academy and went before you'd actually seen any results?
I didn't tell her.
Oh, you didn't?
Not initially.
But she must have knew that you were in property. And
yep, she did. You know, not just her. A few people around at the time suddenly thought, what's happened to Leo? He's just got like obsessed with property. he's upset all the time. You know, almost as though there was something wrong with me, which there probably was. I was thinking, got to do something because the storm's coming. And if I don't do something now.
It has come.
And the storm has come.
It has. And that's why lots of people now are absolutely screwed, because the average salary isn't enough to pay for the average rent and bills and food. It's not enough.
No, it's got to be difficult for an awful lot of people out there.
Did you set up an alert on your partner's phone so that every time you got paid in property, it would ping? Talk to me. Is that true?
Yeah, that is true. that is true, because I just thought, how am I going to share that this is working? So I set up my serviced accommodation things. I said, I'm going to put you as a co-host, because I'd already realized that every time a booking comes in, the phone pings. So she could see these bookings coming in. So with my partner's phone, started pinging all the time. But that was a massive, massive thing about getting her on board and just showing her and anybody else that it really does work.
Well, Leo, really insightful, really inspiring, and massive well done. You deserve every success. You've worked hard, and it's just been great working with you. I've had a lot of fun. I hope you've enjoyed working with me.
Oh, absolutely. What can I say? Wouldn't be here now. Wouldn't be able to sit here and have this chat with you, which is just great. If it wasn't for you and the academy and all the other academy members, never in my life have I experienced such a nice bunch of people. And I think maybe the one thing that might just make the difference is that the people that turn up to those crash courses or go on the academies have got that something possibility. They want to better themselves. Yeah. They want to just try and improve things. And it's just a great opportunity and a great platform and a great place to do that. So thank you very
much. Leo, thanks for your time. If you're watching this and you want to come and join us, join the community, £1, come and spend a day with me, the team, learn, get an action plan put together of how you can smash it in property investing this year. I'll leave a link below. It's £1. What are you waiting for? Get booked now. Let's smash it.